You're changing. I'm changing. That's what's changing. Hallelujah. All right, turn with me in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And one of the way God changes us is when we understand how He works in us and how His Word and His Holy Spirit empowers us to do what is our job to do. And one of the things we clearly see is that the management, the stewardship of our life belongs to God, but we need to take responsibility for where our life is and where our life is going. And He will help us. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, "For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." 1 Corinthians 4:1-2 says, "Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards." Everybody say required. Now, who's a steward? Raise up your hand if you're a steward. All right, your body belongs to God, but you have a mind. And God has allowed you to walk in your body during this life. All right, so you're a steward. It is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Faithful. So faithfulness is not extra credit. Faithfulness is not, well, that would be really nice if that happens one day. I hope. No, it's required. And it's required right now. It's required for where you are right now in your life, in your journey, and in your path. All right? And God, if He requires faithfulness, then that means His grace will enable faithfulness if you yield to it. If you ask for it, if you allow Him to build that into your life. Now, faithfulness, we saw, means that we are found reliable, trustworthy. Amen? Well, you say, well, Pastor, I think I'm reliable. Well, that's good. But what you need to do is ask others if you're reliable. Amen? Ask others if you're reliable, if you're trustworthy. All right. Now, we are reliable to the Lord for what belongs to the Lord. That is our life, our breath, what we do with what God has given us. All right. And so another question is, can God trust you? Does God find us reliable and we ultimately are faithful to Him? We're faithful for the motives of our heart and we are faithful for the actions that we live out in this body. All right, now, I want you to see a very important area. There's going to be two things we're going to see from this text of areas that God looks to when it comes to faithfulness. Turn to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. And so it's important to know, what does God look for? What does God expect? What are His priorities? Luke 16 and verse 10, it says, "He who is faithful," everyone says faithful, "in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon," that's money, "who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon," or money. Now, it doesn't say you can't have God in your life and money in your life. It's a matter of servitude. It's a matter of who do you listen to you. Do you listen to God or do you listen to the eagle on the 50,000 kwacha note? Who's calling the shots of your life? Who is directing you, God or money? Because there is a lot of the world that we live in. They are governed by money or the hope of money. That's how they make their decisions. All right. So God is saying, when you come into relationship with me, you can't have two masters. It doesn't work that way. It will not work that way. But he says in verse 11, it says, if you've not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon or in money, who will commit to you the true riches? That means that there's something that's going to be in our life called the money test. How do we handle money? How do we think about it? What decisions do we make about money? Now, I understand that sometimes people feel like, well, in church, all they talk about is money. Now, if you're a visitor, you can ask someone who's been a member here and you'll find out that there's a lot that we talk about other than money at Miracle Life. Right? But here's the thing. It is in the Bible. It is important. And it is important in your life. So today we're going to talk about money. We're going to talk about your faithfulness when it comes to what God says about money. All right. So we're going to look at three areas, and we're going to focus on the last one. We're going to look at three areas where we can be faithful to God about money. Okay. And again, it's faithful to His standards and His ways. All right. The first area is, are we faithful to God's wisdom? All right. God, and especially in the book of Proverbs, He gives us incredible insight into how to handle our money. He talks about investing, saving. He talks about loaning and giving. He talks about co-signing loans with other people. There's incredible, incredible wisdom that God gives us about our finances. So I want to ask you today, are you faithful to God's wisdom when it comes to money? And I'm very glad for the self-help books that are out there and financial wisdom courses and things that are in the secular world. And many of those, some of those are also, they apply to the Word of God. All right. And they come from the Word of God. But do you know what God has to say about your money? Do you care what God has to say about your money? And do you follow what God says? Because here's the thing. You cannot violate God's wisdom in money and then expect to have special breakthrough prayers. You ignore God's wisdom when it comes to your finances for 364 days, but now I'm going to the breakthrough financial conference and someone's going to lay oil on my head and there's going to be a special breakthrough offering. Well, no, you should have been participating in breakthrough offerings the whole year. You should have been following the wisdom of God all year long. Amen. And thank God for breakthroughs. Amen. But you can live your life in a way that you will need less breakthroughs. If you apply the wisdom of God to your finances, you'll need less miracles. Because they'll be happening every day because you'll be walking in that. All right? So there are things that God says. I'm going to read these real quick, but Proverbs chapter 6 says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, nor no overseer or ruler. Yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest." So when there's a kind of an overflow, when there's something that comes into your life out of the ordinary, do you eat it all in a week? Ooh, it's party time. Come on, we're going to the restaurant. Or do you, like the ant, do you know how small of a brain an ant has? Yet, it didn't go to a class or course, but it says, you know what, I'm going to need to save this surplus for the winter. Amen? Isn't it sad that ants are smarter than the majority of Christians? Friends, that shouldn't be. It just shouldn't be that way. Proverbs 12:27 says, "The lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting, but diligence is man's precious possession." He doesn't take what he took in hunting. He doesn't roast it. He doesn't make it more valuable. Amen. How many of you would like to stop seeing trucks from the Copper Belt going out of our country with copper plates? So that another country roasts it and makes money off of our copper. Okay. Proverbs says that, Proverbs 13 says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Sometimes at funerals, people get up and say, he was a good man. Well, let's check. Is he good as God defines good? Did he leave an inheritance to his children's children? Or did his children have to pay for the funeral? Well, I really don't like this. Well, it's all in the Bible. It's right here. Okay, and see, this is what we have to decide. Am I going to be faithful to some other standard? Or am I going to be faithful to the Word of God? That is the basis of faithfulness. All right? So make it a quest in life to know what God says about money. Not what the TV preacher says about money. He may have a few good things. But make it your quest. Discover, learn, and implement it in your life and watch your life change real, real quick. All right? Let's look at another verse. You can tell this is going to be one of those sermons, can't you? Turn to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Jesus talked about two areas of faithfulness, two areas of obedience when it came to money. Matthew 22, verse 21. Somebody was trying to trick him that he was against Rome and against what they were doing. And Jesus didn't get pulled into that discussion. Matthew 22, 21. And he said unto them, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Render, give, another translation says. So give to Caesar that which is Caesar's, and to God that which is God's. We want to look at those two areas today. All right, first of all, what is Caesar's? And it uses an apostrophe S. That means it's possessive. That means it belongs to Caesar. All right. What is that? It's taxes, right? Taxes. Say this with me. Say, paying taxes is biblical. Not paying taxes that I'm supposed to is a sin. With a capital S. Jesus said, pay your taxes. Now, what he didn't say was, render unto Caesar that which belongs to Caesar when you agree how the way Caesar is spending it. Or when it benefits you, or your family, or your community, or the goals that you have. He just blanketly said, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. All right, now, here's the thing. Caesar was horrible in that day. The Caesar Jesus was talking about, a lot of the money that Israel was paying in taxes, it was leaving Israel. It was fighting wars for Caesar. Well, I don't like that. Well, take it up with Jesus. Give to Caesar that which belongs to Caesar. Now, in any country, in any tax system, there are ways that you can legally reduce your taxes. Legally. All right? Be smart. Have a good lawyer. Have a good accountant. Right? And they can help you. They can guide you. And don't be foolish. Pay as small as you possibly can. Legally. All right? But let me ask you things. What about you? Do you cheat on VAT? I'd like to give you a receipt, but you know. Do you have two sets of books? I knew an accountant in South Africa. And there was a guy, and I knew where this guy lived, and he owned a grocery store. And this guy had a mansion. He had Mercedes. I mean, it was just fantastic wealth, you know. And this guy was his accountant. He said, I do his taxes, and the books he shows me shows that he earns like $10,000 a year. And that's what he submits to the South African Revenue Service. He's got another set of books. He's got another cash register. And some of these type of people come to church on Sunday. They wear a fish pin. They put a bumper sticker on their car. My blessing shall be permanent. Well, let me tell you, you can have the bumper sticker, but if you disobey the words of Jesus, your blessing will not be permanent. It will not be permanent. Oh, Pastor, don't say that. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. Pay your taxes. Pay your taxes. Well, I don't like what the taxes are. Well, good news, there's an election coming. But whoever gets in, whatever they decide, guess what? Pay your taxes. All right? That is our God-given responsibility. Jesus Christ, the head of the church, Jesus Christ, whose blood was shed for you, who owns the title deed on your life, he says, give to Caesar that which belongs to Caesar. Amen. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you came to church today? All right. Now, Jesus also said this. He said, give or render unto God that which belongs to God. All right. So what belongs to God? All right. Taxes, that's fairly simple. All right. You just study the tax code. You understand what your obligations are. You do it. All right. You keep on going down the road. But what belongs to God? All right. Let's look at a few verses along these lines. Leviticus 27. Leviticus 27, verse 30. You see, we're answerable to God for our money. I know some of you may be in a company where you have to answer to the chief accountant. Or maybe you answer to a treasurer. Or you answer to some other group about money. If you're in government, you answer to the auditor general. Really, you answer to me. And to all of us that pay taxes. Because that's our money that you're spending. Please use it wisely. Please, don't cheat us, all right? So, but ultimately we answer to God for everything. Leviticus 27, verse 30 says, and all the tithe, now the tithe, what that means is 10%, okay? There's no such thing as a 5% tithe or a 20% tithe. It's just a tithe is just a mathematical term. It means a tenth. And all the tenth of the land, whether of the seed or the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. Holy means set apart, sanctified. It means that it's set apart for Him. All right. So a tenth of everything of the increase of the land is the Lord's. All right. So what does that mean? Means every increase that comes into your life, your salary, the blessings from your business, a tenth belongs to the Lord. And so that's why Malachi said, they said, well, how have you been robbing me? And, Lord, how have we been robbing you? And God said, you've been robbing me in tithes and offerings. Okay, so if you have something that belongs to me and you spend it on yourself, you're a thief. Correct? Because it's not yours to use. Okay? And if it's, you know, if it's funds that don't belong to you, they belong to someone else, that means they're used for their purposes. Okay? So the tithe of our life, the finances that come into our life, a tenth belongs to the Lord. And so tithing means we are returning to God that which belongs to Him. All right? It is His, and we are now returning that to Him. Now, have you ever thought this? Why did God set it up this way? Why did God, why didn't He just kind of supernaturally just take His portion? All right? And somehow He could have set up like an automatic transfer system in heaven. Because if He wants it, see, but here's the thing. God wants more than your money. He wants your heart. He wants your faith. Trusting God opens the door for Him to work into your life. Without trust, without your faith, God has no legal basis to work in your life. He can't and He won't. Jesus went to His own hometown, and the Bible says there He could not do any miracles because of their unbelief. He could not. Not that He wouldn't. He couldn't. They had closed the door to what He wanted to do in their life. Now, when you look at the promises of God and you look at the wonderful things that God has in His Word that He wants to do in your life financially, He wants to take care of you. He wants there to be an abundance. He wants there to be there's so many promises that God has for our life when it comes to these things. Now, what gives God the legal right to do that? Trust. Faith. Amen? Saying, Father, you know what? I look to You. I trust You. And Christians who know about tithing and don't tithe, it is a problem of trust. It is a problem of unbelief. It is a problem of, you know what, God, You said that, but I just can't do this. I just won't want to do this. I need that for me. Oh, so God said something and you don't believe what He said. That's called unbelief. And unbelief leads to a world of pain. It leads to a world of things not going okay for you. Look at Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. Tell your neighbor, I'm not nervous. Amen. Luke chapter 21, Jesus was at the temple and He was observing something. And there were many, many times in the Bible where Jesus observed something and then He would comment on what He saw. All right. So here is something that He was watching. Luke 21 verse 1. He looked up and He saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And He also saw a poor woman, a widow, putting in two mites. And He said, truly, I say to you that this poor woman, this poor widow, has put in more than all. For all of these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God, but she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had. Now, Jesus was watching the offering. Jesus was noting how much went into the offering. But here's what also He noted. He noted what was left in the person. What they had remaining after they gave. Well, how does He do that? Well, He's Jesus. He does those things. Now, the question is, does Jesus look at the offering today? Or was this just something He was doing because He was bored on that day, waiting for the bus to come to take Him to the next crusade or something? No, I believe Jesus is the same. So if Jesus was watching, He is watching. And He's noting. And what He's noting is not just the amount, but the percentage. God works in percentages. You see, here on the earth, we go, wow, that was big. That was a lot. Woo, did you see that? Or we go, oh, shame, that wasn't very much. Because I can't do much with that. We look at the amount. All right? If you've got a kitchen party, hey? Deep freeze. Fridge. Stove. Hallelujah. No, see, but God, we look at the stuff or the amounts. God doesn't look that way. He simply doesn't look that way. So when you are a 14-year-old student who has just very little, but you bring a tithe to the Lord, the tithe of what He blessed you with, that pleases God more than the businessman who makes $10,000 a month and brings $500. Because after all, what is the church going to do with $1,000 a month? They don't need all that money. Plus $500 is more than most people give. I feel pretty good about myself because I gave $500. No. That child outgave you in God's economy. Because God works in percentages. What is a tenth? What is a tithe? It's a percentage. It's a percentage. And what God wants to, and here's the thing, I like what my friend Jared Graham says. In this room today, there are two groups of people. There are tithers and non-tithers. Obviously, we've got other groups, male, female. But either you do or you don't. And if you do, I think you're going to be encouraged today. If you don't, we want to encourage you to follow the Lord, to follow what God has for your life. So Jesus watched, and Jesus did this. Now, why did God set this up? What is His motive? What is His heart? Malachi 3 and verse 10. This is a very clear description of what God wants to do. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. So those that have, when God has blessed them, they bring into the storehouse. That's one place, not storehouses, but storehouse. That there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, or test me, or prove me, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. All right? So what happens when we tithe? The storehouse has enough. Okay? This was the temple. This was where God was residing. I believe in our day and age, this is the local church. We don't have temples. All right? But we have places where churches congregate, where believers come together. All right? So what happens? The church has enough and you are blessed. Now, why did God set it up that way? Anytime you trust God in any area of your life, it might be in the area of your relationships. Last week we learned that we need to forgive. I was so blessed. I heard that our bookshop, people came into the bookshop and says, do you sell envelopes? I want to buy envelopes because I want to bless somebody, somebody who's hurt me, somebody that I need to reconcile with. All right? I believe that's happening. It was happening. So when you trust God in the area of your relationships, guess what happens to your relationships? They're blessed. When you trust God in the area of your marriage and you go His way, guess what happens to your marriage? It gets really blessed. If you trust God in the area of your money, guess what happens to your money? It gets blessed. If you don't, then you're on your own. It's just up to you. Okay? Now, there are times where it's kind of interesting where Jesus talked about taxes and tithes. All right? And there's sometimes where people say, well, I'm not gonna pay taxes because I don't like the way the government's using my money. But Jesus didn't give you that option. He didn't say, pay your taxes as long as you agree with the budget that is presented every year to Parliament. And if you agree, then you pay your taxes. If you don't agree, then you're welcome to keep it in your pocket. But that's what people do with churches as well. Well, I would tithe to my church, but you know, I don't like some of the decisions they're making. I mean, $35 million for vacation Bible school, they could have done that for $5 million. I mean, I know that because I've done vacation Bible schools for the last 20 years. I don't like some of the decisions they're making. And so therefore, I'm going to withhold my tithe. Let me tell you, friend, if you believed that, then you would go find a church that uses money the way you want it to be, and you would tithe there. You would do that, but you haven't. It's just an excuse. It's an excuse. Now, see, here's the thing. You've got to understand in life what God holds you responsible for and what God holds other people responsible for. Okay, so when I pay my taxes, what am I doing? I'm obeying the Bible. I am now responsible to God. God, you said that's what I should do. Now, if someone gets my taxes and misuses them, guess what? They are responsible to God for their job. I'm not responsible for what someone else does, right or wrong. I'm responsible for me. Now, I can tell you, at Miracle Life, for the past 13 years, since the doors opened, under Pastor Newberry and his wife, my wife and I, and now with our, we've got an extended board, we've got an audit committee, a finance, we are doing our best to use God's money very wisely. We always have and we always will. All right? Did we pay too much for the carpet? I don't think so, but we tried not to. Okay? But guess what? That's not your problem. I will answer to God for that. Our finance committee will answer to God for that. You won't. But you will answer to God for your disobedience if you are in disobedience to God. Does that make sense? You can't obey for someone else. Well, I'll love my wife when she starts acting like the Bible. I've sent her on courses, I've given her books, and she still won't do it right. So I'm just not going to be good to her. Well, you are really in trouble, husband. Because the Bible says, love your wife as Christ loves the church. It doesn't give you a caveat. It doesn't give you a parenthesis. As long as she's wonderful to you. No, you do it anyway. You do it all the time. Amen. Well, I don't tithe because, you know, I don't like the financial decisions. Well, that's not your responsibility, is it? All right. God will hold leaders responsible for misuse of money. And I'm sorry that there are churches around the world who have misused God's money. That has happened. But I can tell you, there are many, many, many churches that do not mishandle God's money. They do their best with what's given to them. And they do the work of Jesus. And they do send the gospel into people's lives. Amen? Now, other times people, I've seen believers when they struggle with tithing, is in two positions of life. When they don't have a lot of money and when they do have a lot of money, you're tempted not to tithe. See, when you don't have a lot of money, the temptation is you look at the 90% after the tithe and you say, this will never work. I can't meet my needs. I can't meet my needs with 100%. How am I going to get by on 90%? And so they say, you know, God, you're just going to have to handle this because I have to take your money because I need to eat. Okay, what is that? It's a trust problem. It's a trust issue because God said, bring the tithe to me. There'll be enough in my house and I'll bless you. I will help you. No, you don't understand. God, your tenth, I know it belongs to you, but I've got to use it this month. Because I'm in trouble this month. And I think you'll understand. Let me let you know. He doesn't understand. There is no waiver. And you know what? I've seen situations. And I was talking to my wife last night where there was somebody, you know, one time. And they were just bringing something very, you know, they were struggling in life. But they were bringing something to the church. And we felt, oh, God. Let's just give it back to them. This just, it almost feels unethical. All right? But do you know Jesus didn't go to that widow woman and say, wow, you gave everything. Shame. Come here, sweetie. You shouldn't have to give that. No. That was a door to her blessing. That was a door. She did it out of trust. And God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man or a woman sows, that shall he also reap. God watches, God sees, and God does what he does on his side. I can't afford it. Maybe it seems too insignificant, or God, I just have to have this. No. See, your lack of trust is keeping you. That's why you are where you are. It might be among other things, like all of Proverbs' wisdom. Well, I don't know why I can't hold a job down. Well, maybe you need to work harder. Tithe and obey the Bible. Amen? All right? Now, so there's a temptation to not tithe when I need it. But then there's another temptation when the money starts getting bigger, where the tithe now, you could buy a car with the tithe. Yeah, for real. You could send your kids to school on the tithe. Amen. I've written some tithe checks, my wife and I, that have been larger. And I'll just be honest, at first glance, they didn't bless me. I went, oh, Jesus. Oh, I could love to use that in Mauritius and other places. Huh? And it just seems, oh, God, you know, half of that is a lot. No. See, that's looking at amounts. That's not looking at percentages. Jesus said this, to whom much is given, much is asked. No, much is required. Required by God. All right. So when the tithe, and God, if you start tithing, there will come a day where the tithe check gets a little too big for comfort. I mean, if your relatives knew what you were tithing, oh, they would think you're crazy. Huh? All those preachers do is steal your money. They drive fancy cars and they do all this crazy stuff. Not at Miracle Life. Not at Miracle Life. Amen? And another temptation is, well, I've got this big tithe. What is the church going to do with all that money? That's not a problem here. We've got lots of things to do with your money. We've got missionaries to send. Amen? Pastor Ken Bonda, that was on staff here and now he's doing evangelism, I would like to give 10 times what the church is giving. And he'd spend it all on evangelism. He'd spend it all getting souls saved in villages. Amen? Doing more for our kids, for Covenant Kids, building more buildings. You don't ever have to worry about that here. Amen? I can promise you the vision is bigger than your tithe. And it will be for a long, long time. All right? So there, the gospel will go forward with your money. All right? Sorry, if that's the tithe, it would be God's money, isn't it? All right? Now, I realize that there's been lots of silly things said about the tithe. You know, that if you, you know, maybe you've got to make up the tithe from the past 25 years and there's a penalty on your tithe, and maybe I just give all my tithe to the pastor personally, or I give the first fruits, the first check of the month to the pastor. A lady came up to me one time and she said, Pastor, it's January. I want to give you my first paycheck because this is a first fruit. And I said, ma'am, let's do the math here. If that was the Bible, and we just did just quick sums, I said, that means in just taking a kind of an average on a low side, that means in January of every year, the church would give me $800,000 as a senior pastor. Pastor William wouldn't get anything because he's the associate pastor. He works just as hard as me. That's not that. I don't believe that's biblical. So I know there are crazy, crazy things happening out there about the tithe. I don't agree with this one. If you get a loan for your business, you got to tithe from the loan. No, it's for your business. The bank wasn't thinking you were going to tithe. They thought that was going to go into the business. Okay? And again, I think sometimes it's from desperate pastors who are trying to tweak the tithe out of you or scare the tithe out of you. Yeah. I was at a church in South Africa. A friend of mine went. His wife had a baby. And the baby, he had three girls, and this was a boy. And so they were going to have a boy. And very sadly, the boy, that small boy, died at childbirth. All right? And so the pastor got up in front of the whole church. And my friend was an evangelist. All right? Got up in the whole front of the whole church and said, I know why God killed that baby. It's because they weren't tithing. Now, would you have been motivated to tithe that Sunday? If God was going to kill your baby, of course we're going to tithe. But you will get virtually no benefit out of it because it wasn't done out of faith. It wasn't done out of trust. It was done out of fear. Oh, God, tithe, give double tithe, triple tithe. Just don't kill my baby. Now, the pastor got himself probably a big offering, but he did the work of Jesus a great disservice that day. And those people as well. All right. Some people say, well, Pastor, I'm under grace. I don't need to tithe. It's the law. I'm redeemed from the law. Well, I'm glad we're redeemed from the law. But Abraham gave a tenth to Melchizedek, what he recognized as God working on the earth before the law. All right. The law didn't invent tithing. It just regulated tithing. And here's the thing, the moral obligations of the law, love, do good, don't murder, what the law required you to do, grace empowers you to do. Amen? Now we have a reason. It's not just a law, it's not just a rule, it's a lifestyle and it's a love and a trust towards God. Amen? Now, so many, many times I believe it really comes down to this, do I trust Jesus? Do I trust him? All right. And I know there are other areas of life where it comes down to trust, where, you know, we've seen in our church where, say, a single person is, you know, they begin to follow Jesus. They begin to love the Lord. And maybe their boyfriend is not following the Lord, is not a born again Christian, has nothing to do with Jesus, but it's safety. It's security. The family's like him. And you have to say, well, the Bible says I shouldn't be with him romantically. I shouldn't get married to him, but I'm 32. What's going to happen to me? See, that's a trust issue. Can I trust God enough to obey his word and that he will bring about the results that his word says? Amen. Last week we heard, do good to your enemy. Bless them. Well, but if I bless them, then they're going to still be alive. I need to take them out. Somebody needs to sort these people, huh? No. That's God's job. That's God. I'll do my job. I'll bless. I'll do good. I'll slide them envelopes of money under their doors, like we heard last week. And I'll let God. Do I trust God enough to obey him? And this is why James was saying, you say you have faith. Hallelujah. Faith without works is not real. It's just pretend faith. All right. So God wants you to trust him. I was at a PI meeting and I'm not going to mention the name because, you know, it might be, they may feel embarrassed. I was so, so blessed as people were giving testimonies of what God has done through their life in this church. And there was a lady who had children, was married. And for whatever reason, her husband came to her one day and her husband had been successful and had retired from a certain high level post and came and said, I'm leaving you. I'm leaving the children and I'm just going to go live in the village. And he said, but I don't want to leave you without anything. So I'm going to give you 20,000 kwacha. 10,000 is to help pick up the kids at school today. 5,000 is to buy some vegetables and 5,000 is to put some petrol in the vehicle. That's what he said. And that's what he did. And he handed her a 20,000 kwacha note and he left and he didn't come back. And so here's a woman who's raised her kids, has been faithful to her husband, and he just leaves. What is she going to do? Well, she said they were living in an unfinished house. And she said, actually, our house looked like a piggery. Just blocks, no plaster, nothing, no water, no electricity. We're just living there with 20,000 kwacha. So her testimony was, I began to tithe to Miracle Life. I began to trust the Lord. She's been here for longer than I have. And she said, I began to look to the Lord. And yes, it was tough and family were making fun of me. But little by little by little, a few years later, we electrified the house. Then we painted the house. She said, I have a daughter in university. And my husband who now lives in the village came, or ex-husband, all right, came and said, how have you managed to take care of the kids? Now, she's a bigger woman than I am. She's got more integrity. What I would have said to the husband was, but she didn't. What she did say is, my God Jehovah has taken care of us. My God Jehovah. And now here's the thing, Pastor. Are you telling me magically that if I tithe that God will electrify my house? No. I'm telling you have to trust Him. You have to trust Him enough to do His word. You have to trust Him enough to follow His commands. The tithe is not the evil invention of greedy pastors. And just for the record, the church, we're doing fine. The bills are paid. We're not behind.
Well, why is Pastor doing this today?
Because we're talking about faithfulness. And Jesus said, if you're not faithful in money, He can't trust you with other stuff. I just don't understand why life is not getting better for me. I want God to promote me. Are you faithful with your money?
Well, pray for me. Zap me.
Zap yourself. Amen? Oh, friends, we can trust Him. We can trust Him. When my wife and I moved to South Africa with a 3-month-old baby, and we moved there, it was a war zone at the time. Bombs were going off. Let's just say that didn't make me that popular with certain family members. So we went there, we were trusting the Lord, and so we were receiving, missions support, and we had just barely enough to, and we were making it, okay, we had this nice rental house and there we were, just the two of us and our little baby. And so 3 months into living in South Africa, all right, and we're doing our best. Half of our finances went away. 50% gone, finished. Well, do we tithe this month on what's left? Oh yeah, we do. Oh yeah. And I can just tell you, my wife and I, we've been habitual tithers in our own personal lives and in our marriage for over 20 years. Habitual tithers. Now, what does that mean? It means drop a zero and come to church. I think that's why God made it a tenth, is for those of us that didn't do well in school. Well, what's your salary? $2 million. Well, drop a zero and come to church. What's your salary? $30 million. Praise the Lord. Drop a zero. Come to church. Amen. How much was the Christmas bonus? Oh man, it was awesome. It was $200 million. Well, drop a zero. Come to church. It's that simple, folks, as far as the math. Now, what's not as simple is what goes on in your heart. Amen. Oh, it is sweet, sweet, sweet to trust in Jesus. And I tell you what, my wife and I, we've had some adventures financially. We've had things where, it was a little bit crazy. But I can tell you, God is faithful. God is faithful to do exactly what He will say and do. And God is faithful to take care of you and your family. When we left South Africa to come to Zambia, it was a bad, bad financial decision. I mean, I could tell you one day. But anyway, it was a bad financial decision. I mean, it was horrible. Well, see, if money is your master, you'll never make decisions like that. And that's the best decision I ever made in my life. After receiving Jesus as my Lord and marrying Haley Gould. That's the third best decision. Now, God wants you to trust Him. Trust activates grace. Trust activates the grace of God. The New Testament says this, that He gives grace to the humble. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 talks about grace financially. There is a grace called giving. There is a grace called receiving. It's part of God's system. All right? So humility says God's right. God's word is right. Pride says I'm smarter than God. And even though God says to tithe, I'm smarter than Him and I can make this work out. I can figure this out. I'll do this. I've got the reasons why God is wrong and the word of God is not accurate. Now, what happens to prideful people? God resists the proud. He doesn't hate the proud, but He resists the proud. He doesn't have a way of getting His grace to you while you're in pride. There is so much grace available to you for finances. There is so much grace available to you for finances. And I've watched people who were trapped in sin, and the sin was consuming all of their money. There was somebody when they first started coming to this church, they would gamble their whole salary away. They'd go to one of these places on the Kafui Road, come back, nothing, zero, zilch. How many of you know adultery is expensive? Financially. At least in Lusaka, it's not cheap. It's expensive. Sin costs. Sin hurts. And I've seen as people come to God and give Him their life, but then they begin to honor Him financially and they begin to give Him a tenth. God has so shaped and changed their life. Oh, but Pastor, no. It's because of God. I've watched it with my own eyes. Some of you in this church, I could call you out right now. Amen. How God, what He's done in your life. And I knew you 7 years ago. You weren't that smart. It's not like you're a PhD. It's the hand of the Lord. It's the blessing of the Lord. Amen. God made it simple. All right, so how does this work? The tithe, the tenth, belongs to the Lord. If you have a business, it's not all your sales, because that's not your increase. All right? It's the profit. All right? It's your salary. It's what comes to you. It's very simple. A tenth of that belongs to the Lord. It's the first and the best. Don't give God the rotten tomato. Well, I'll give Him a tenth. Oh, that one. I don't want that one. I guess He can have that one. Don't give God your junk. The tithe was the best. It was the first. It was off the top. Before you eat, God eats. Yeah? And so I would encourage you, the way my wife and I have done it, before we pay any bills, when we get paid, when we receive increase, first thing is the tithe. First thing. It's gone. It's finished. It's out. All right? Malachi says that, he says, the storehouse where His name is. All right? Many, many, many of you will live in other cities, will live in other countries. Find a church that preaches the gospel. Find a church that believes the Bible and tithe. Amen? Pastor, this is just for Miracle Life. No. This is for you wherever you go in life. Amen? If one day you leave this church to go to church down the road, tithe there. If you go to the Copper Belt, don't go to a church on the Copper Belt and send your tithe to Miracle Life. Amen? That's like going to eat at KFC and then paying the bill at Zamchick. Where you're fed, where your family is. And what happens? There will be enough. See, I believe that God set this up, the tithe, is because there are multiple times in our life where there is, where there's increase. For some, it's a monthly check from a company. All right. For others, it's a business where there are proceeds from that business from time to time. All right. And so the tithe gives you an opportunity regularly to trust God, not in an emergency, not when, oh, God, you got to help me. No, just every time something comes into your life, Father, I trust you. Now, something my wife and I do, we don't tithe silently. That is, not that we tell you, but we pray. We speak over our tithe. We say, Lord, thank you for blessing us. Father, we realize that we're not that smart. We realize that we're not that clever. We see that it is you that have given us the power to obtain wealth. And we look to you and we honor you and we worship you. And we remember when we had to eat with coupons. We remember when we had to order from the right side of the menu with our whole life. And Father, we honor you and we trust you and we love you, and it is a thrill to obey you. And it is a thrill of all that you've done in our life and our children's lives. And we honor you today. See, it is a spiritual thing. It is not some clever way that the church invented to pay the bills. It's a way to bring God into your heart on a regular basis, on a monthly basis. Every time something happens to you, you trust the Lord. You look to the Lord. You honor the Lord. Amen? Now, why did God set it up that way? Because, friends, we need to constantly, consistently be trusting the Lord. Amen? See, the world, in 1 Timothy 6... God gave instructions to a pastor named Timothy. He said, warn those who are rich not to trust in uncertain riches. Uncertain riches. Thank God the price of the copper is high. But you remember 3 years ago it wasn't high. Oh, what are we going to do? Well, we trust the Lord when the copper is high, when the copper is low. We trust the Lord when we're employed and when we're unemployed. We trust the Lord at all times. Amen? At all times. Whatever is happening around us financially or to us financially or whatever the bank account looks like, whatever we do, we trust the Lord. We look to the Lord. We honor the Lord. And a tithe is a physical thing that we can do to trust God. Not looking to our job, not looking to any of the financial indices, but we look to God's nature. We look to God's love. We look to God's provision. Amen? And when we tithe from our heart, and we tithe because we trust Him, and we tithe because we love Him, guess what? God says, watch out. Look what I will do for you. Amen. And I don't know, Andrew, I don't know everyone else's testimony, but that is our testimony after over 20 years of trusting God and tithing. When things were good, when things were bad, when the tithe was little, when the tithe was a lot, God has opened the windows of heaven for my wife and I. Amen. And now you say, well, Pastor, is this magical? No, God's not magical. God's not an ATM machine where you just push in the button, hit the green one, and No, God's not a formula. He's God. He's God, and He is to be loved. He is to be revered. He's to be respected. Amen? And this is just one of the areas of our life where we can do this. Now, money affects our life like few other things. Our physical health is a big thing. Our relationships are a big thing. And so that's why God has so much in His Word to tell us about money. And this is one step you can take for the rest of your life to trust Him, to honor Him. Amen. Praise team, would you come up? We want to sing a chorus with you. not about the money, it's about your heart. But Jesus said this, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. They are linked. You can't get away from it. And God wants you to trust Him like never, ever, ever before. And the testimonies that I've told you, and I'm just thinking, four people, five people that I've seen this morning, I know what God's done in their life. They could come up, I could give them the microphone. God's not a respecter of persons. If you're a widow, God will look after you. God will watch after you. If you're a young person just about to get married, God will look after you. He'll help you. Amen? But we've got to do it His way. Let's sing this song together. Let's stand to our feet.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know Thus says the Lord.
Tis so sweet.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to just to rest upon His promise, just to know that says the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust in Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
Head, just bow your head and close your eyes. Friend, if you've never trusted Him financially, oh, I can tell you, not just because of the words of a song, but I've seen it with my own eyes. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Oh, it is sweet. It's not hard. It's not a burden. God's not looking to take something out of your life. He's looking to bring things into your life. But you must trust Him. For there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. There's no other way. There's no other way. Oh, but His ways are your ways. And you can follow Him today. And whatever the fear might be, whatever the hang up might be, whatever the lie might be, friend, today is the day. Today is the day to trust in Jesus. To trust Him. Yes, with all your life. But some have said, I'll trust Him to get me to heaven, but while I'm here on the earth, I'll do it my way. Especially with my money. I'm smarter than God. I know more than God. His word doesn't apply to my life. Oh, but friend, it does. And today, you can jump into the waters of faith. You can jump into the waters of trust and see what He will do in your life. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, some of you couples, husbands and wives, you need to come together. You need to trust in Jesus. You need to honor Him. You need to look to Him. Oh, it is so sweet, so sweet, so sweet. With every head bowed and every eye closed, today we were specifically talking about faith in the area of our money, faithfulness. But friend, there's something so much bigger than your money. It's your eternity. It's your eternity. The Bible tells about a story of a man who was very rich in this life, and he went straight to hell. And in that torment, his money could not buy him water. His money could not buy him freedom from his tormentors. His money could not buy him the presence of God. And he said, oh, that Lazarus could come and just dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm in these flames. See, there is a heaven and there is a hell, and they exist, and real life people are there today, not because of their church attendance, not because they went to a class or they were confirmed, but they are there because of a decision they made about Jesus Christ. Either to receive Him as their personal Lord and Savior, to follow Him, or to ignore Him. To use His name in jokes. To say, well, you know, I'll come at Christmas time. No, 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 no. Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. No man comes to the Father except through Him. You can't make a deal with God. God made provision for you through His Son, Jesus Christ. No one who ever was on this earth, whoever invented a religion, died for you. Jesus, the only sinless man this world has ever seen, died the death of a criminal. Why? So you could come to God. So you could be forgiven. So you could be accepted by God. It doesn't happen by works you've done, but by trusting Him. And if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I've never trusted in Jesus like you're talking about. I've never received Him as my Lord and Savior. Or I'm a backslidden Christian and I need to trust Him. I need to come home from my sin, from my rebellion. Friend, today is the day to trust Him. Today is the day to receive Him, to be forgiven. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus, or I'm backslidden, I want to pray with you. God will do a miracle in your life today. And if that's you right now, wherever you are, raise up your hand. Raise it up real, real high. God bless you, young man. God bless you over here. Anyone else? Say, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus. I want to follow Him. I'm going to make Him the Lord and the Savior of my life. If that's you, just grab whatever you brought with you and just come meet me up front. Just come meet me up front. If you raised your hand, or you should have raised your hand. Amen. Let's let them know that we love them. Amen. You are welcome. God bless you, young man. Anyone else? You're important to God. We don't want to do anything without you. All right. Well, young man, the Bible says whoever receives Jesus, he'll become a son of God, child of God. And that's going to happen in your heart today. And I want to lead you in a prayer. All right. And if you would just go ahead and close your eyes, because we're going to talk to the Lord just between us. Just go ahead and close your eyes. Hello, young girl. Say this with me. Say, Father, I believe Jesus is your son. He died for me. He was punished for my sin. And you raised Him from the dead so I could know you. I give you my heart, my whole life. I leave my sin and I follow Jesus now. Thank you, Father. I'm in your family. I belong to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.